6:06, a warm welcome if you're one of my 6 o'clock joiners. Now, trees are vital to our ecosystems in so many ways, but how many trees do we have here in the Black Country, and are they healthy enough to help us sustain those ecosystems? The big Black Country iTree Eco Project is now underway and is nearly coming to the end, but it seeks to identify how the Black Country's trees are contributing to our environment and our ecosystems. Joining me in the studio to explain more is Ian McDermott from Birmingham Tree People, Tonya Clark, who's the chair of Birmingham Tree People, and on the line, Manuel Baradas, who is field-based, quite literally, probably, and is working on the project too. Good evening to all of you.
Hello.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining me. Hello, Manuel. Good to know you there. Tonya, first of all, tell me about Birmingham Tree People and how the organisation got involved with this particular project.
Right, so Birmingham Tree People is a charity and we aim to protect, promote and plant trees. And primarily we do that in Birmingham, but we've got links with all the other areas around Birmingham and particularly with Sandwell. And we were really keen to be doing stuff in the Black Country. And we're very fortunate that Mac, who's our trainer, has a lot of links in Sandwell and got to find out about the iTree project.
Well, Ian, we'll call you Mac for the purpose of the avoidance of doubt. Mac, how does the big Black Country iTree Eco Project work? That's such a mouthful.
It is indeed. It was originated, the funding came from the Woodland Trust. So they offered the funding out to the Black Country Consortium, who are based in the same building you've got here. Excuse me. And the project was then tendered out, and Birmingham Tree People, along with Treeconomics and the Forestry Commission through Forest Research, formed another consortium in order to make the tender to work. In the end, we were the only people that tendered because we're the only people qualified to do it. And the project is basically to do 1,000 sample plots across the whole of the Black Country. And within those plots, we're looking for ground cover, numbers of trees, species of trees, condition of trees, whether there's hard standing, pervious, impervious materials. And from all that sample data, we can calculate, extrapolate across the whole of the Black Country, the impact the trees are having or not having, as the case may be.
Tonya, who's actually carrying out the surveying? You know, I guess you've got volunteers on board and all that sort of thing, but this is a mammoth job.
It is. It's really huge, isn't it? So there's a group of paid professional surveyors who are doing some of it, and then there's us volunteers. And so there's a few of us, like Manuel and myself, we've all done it. And I mean, Manuel has just done hundreds of plots. I've done about 4. And then we've got other people doing loads as well. But yeah, there's a bunch of trained professionals as well. I mean, we've had lots of training, so we know what we're doing when we do the surveys.
But as you were saying, Mac, you're the only people that are technically qualified to do this. So, you know, you can't just have any old person doing it, really, can you?
Well, we've taken the tree wardens who were already trained. Mm. Tonya and herself has been together 6 years with the training program. And then we added some more training specifically for the iTree project on what we're looking to do, how we survey, how the sample plots are laid out, how the data's captured. And then we were obviously able to provide the trained volunteer service to support the professional surveyors that are doing the other areas. So obviously there's Walsall, Wolverhampton, Dudley and Sandwell. So the volunteers are mostly concentrated in Sandwell. And then a company called Barton Hired from the Cotswolds, they've done Wolverhampton. And then we've got the Forestry Commission team in Walsall currently. So it's been split because it's such a huge project.
It is huge. And this brings us neatly on to Manuel, who's on the line. Manuel, you're one of the people that are working remotely on this. What's your involvement exactly?
What I do is I usually analyze the plot that I am going to visit, usually the following day. And I make something like a plan of the number of plots I'm going to visit, the area, and where this analysis, actually, if you want to call it like that, mm-hmm. Are needed the most. I mean, it's like Mac and Tanya said, we have about 1,000 plots in the area of Dudley, Wolverhampton, Sandwell, and Walsall, and there is a lot of work that you have to do. When you get to the plot, you have to say, for example, what species of trees you'll find in that plot, which, by the way, is about 11.3 meters around. So whatever you find, any trees, any grass, any shrub that you find in that area, you say the species, how tall they are, how big they are, the orientation north to south, and also the life expectancy of whatever vegetable life form you'll find in those plots.
What samples, if any, do you take from the vegetation?
Actually, we don't take physical samples out of the trees. We just say, for example, we calculate how high the trees are. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, the species, how big they are, the amount of, for example, crown missing from the tree. Because I have observed, and I'm sure the other volunteers have observed. I mean, we have quite a few trees with a lot of limbs missing, mm-hmm. and they are located in areas where they cannot actually develop. For example, if you see a tree next to a motorway, is going to be the life expectancy of that tree is going to be a lot less of a tree that you will find, for example, in a park. I mean, usually in a park, they are healthier trees. But those trees that you find in mostly urban areas, they have some sort of disease. And those are trees that their life expectancies are not that, are not that great.
And I suppose we put that then down to the carcinogenics and pollutants in the air nearby, as you said, particularly by busy roads or motorways, for example.
Yes, most of them are caused by, by the pollutants that we find in the air, but also with the, the how we treat trees outside. I just to give an example, last week I went to a park and I saw a tree about 150, 175 years old tree, and the tree has got a whole bunch of nails put into it, to me, I don't understand why, this kind of behavior from people, towards trees, because, the importance of them, it is just crucial for our existence.
That's a deliberate act of vandalism, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. And those are things that, for example, in my whereabouts, when I am in my rounds doing my plots, I have people who come to me and say, "Oh, that's the good thing you're doing," or I have some other sort of people saying, "Oh, is the council going to cut that tree because that tree is in front of my garden and I park my car underneath?" So every time that the tree has this the shedding of pollen, mm-hmm. It damaged my car or things of that nature. So I think with this campaign, we need to be aware, mm-hmm. of the importance of trees, the importance of the function that they play in the community. I mean, we have trees in urban areas that are absolutely essential to, mm-hmm. To regulate the climate, to cut down some of the pollution that we are causing in our cities.
Mm-hmm. Mac, now you've got experienced surveyors, as you've been saying, and volunteers like Manuel and others, and you say that everybody's trained. What sort of training do you have to have for this sort of thing, or do you come with that training beforehand?
Well, Manuel has come from the Birmingham Institute of Forestry, so he's already working at quite a high level within arboriculture and forestry anyway. The professional surveyors will all have done a level 4, level 6 qualification, a degree level. The tree wardens themselves are all studying level 2 to 4, again, within arboriculture and urban forestry management, which encompasses an awful lot of just nothing besides the trees, a lot of other management, cables, overheads, underground, How this works,
there is a lot of stuff that goes on.
It's not just a tree in a field, it's a tree on the side of the road where there are telephone poles and so on and so forth. Tonya, how long has it taken you to do this or to get to this far?
Well, I've been involved in Birmingham Tree People for about 6 years, so doing the monthly training. But it's a lifelong thing, I think, learning about trees. I think the more that you do, the more that you find out you don't know. And I think, it's a lifelong passion, really. So, yeah, but I've been doing it for about 6 years, part-time, you know, as a volunteer.
When did this project start as such?
This project started beginning of the summer, wasn't it, Matt?
Right.
Yeah, in about May.
And you were saying, Matt, that it's sort of coming to the end now. How long left on it?
Well, the field survey part of is coming to an end. We've got about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, and we'll have completed all the plots. And then the analysis begins.
So what happens with that data then once it's been gathered?
It's crunched through the iTree software program itself, which is a hugely complicated piece of science that I don't profess to understand. But we calculate carbon capture, and that's the carbon that's stored and the sequestration of carbon, the amount of pollutants that are intercepted, stormwater interception. There's a huge plethora of data. The amount of trees that are covered, how much planting opportunities there are within the Black Country. There's a huge amount of data that gets funneled through the system. And each of the Black Country boroughs has asked for it to be presented in a slightly different way. So there are four reports that are required to be drawn out. So once Manuel and all the teams are finished, then the real work of analysis of that data begins.
Manuel, take me through a typical day then when you come in to work or to do this. You know, are you given a plot somewhere, or do you find a plot and take yourself off? And, you know, give me an idea roughly how your day shapes out.
Well, what I usually do is we have Excel page that we have and this particular website that we go to. And all of us know who has done what. So what we do by this is we make sure that not two surveyors go to the same plot. What I do is I make sure that the plots I'm going to visit haven't been done by anyone else. I make a list. I have their location, and we also have downloaded some applications that are very useful for us to locate these plots once we decide that those are the plots that we're going to go. Then when we finally arrive to the plot, we try to locate the center of the plot. Then we see what is north, what is south, what is east, and what is west. And in that radius, whatever is in there, we survey. For example, if I find a tree in there, I will measure how high that tree is, what species it is, what is the dimension of that tree from north to south and from east to west, how much crown the tree has or how much crown is missing, what is underneath the crown, if it is, for example, shrub, or grass, or sometimes a lot of times, especially in northern areas, if you have something like concrete or tar underneath the crown of that tree, that means that that area in particular is not suitable for planting, you know, any more trees, which is our main goal in here. Mm-hmm. And once you do all of that, you submit the information. And you say how many trees you have in a plot. If you don't have any, I've been in surveying plot where the plot is just in the middle of nowhere. It is just grass around, and it could be plantable, but at the moment, by the time that we survey that particular tree, there is nothing in it. So there is a lot of potential in that case.
Mm. But, I mean, you're using quite significant technology to do this, because you can't... I mean, how do you go about measuring the height of a tree? Are you using one of those laser devices, or because you conceivably can't climb the thing? Or can you?
We use... it is a very simple device. We just put it in on your temple, on the side of your eye, and you walk either towards the tree or you back the tree. So that measure that you have next to your eye enclosures from the top all the way down to the tree. And once you are once you're standing in that position, then you take a tape measure from where you are to the base of the tree, and that will give you exactly how high that tree is. It's really a very simple process. Of course,
it's a simple process. You also have some applications on the phone.
Oh, no. I've been I've been doing this particular job for about 2 months now. Mm. But I mean, after I had my training with Mac and Tanya, I mean, it's has been very straightforward.
I'm rapidly running out of time, but Mac, when are we going to get access to the results of this data? Will that be in the public domain?
Oh, yes, very much so. Obviously, it's paid for by the Woodland Trust, as I said, and then the data goes out to the local authorities. So obviously, it would be free to anybody who was interested in it. So that should be next summer. Hopefully, we're ahead of schedule because we've got the field work almost completed. So we hope to get the project in 3 months before the deadline, which is next September.
And so, where can we find out more about the work of Birmingham Tree People?
Oh, on our website, Birmingham Tree People.
birminghamtreepeople.org.uk.
That's right. Yes, yeah.
Lovely. I mean, it sounds a fantastic project. I can't wait to see some of the results, actually. I think that's going to be quite eye-opener, really. And as you say, it helps you then to plan for the future as well, which is what Manuel was alluding to. Ian McDermott, otherwise known as Mac, Tonya Clark and Manuel Baradas from Birmingham Tree People, thank you all very much indeed.
Thank you.
Black Country Radio.